Hello, welcome and kumusta. Thank you for joining me. This is How, your occupational therapist, and welcome to OT Conversations. In this episode, I'd like us to have a journal review. I'd like us to have an understanding, or let's have a journal review, because we haven't had any journal review ever. So this may well be the first time that we are going to do this. In this episode, we are discussing a study that is very important, and it's giving some light on what happens after a procedure, a life-saving medical procedure, has taken place. So our discussion today will be based on a research paper entitled An Unbelievable Ordeal: The Experiences of Adult Survivors Treated with ECMO, authored by Kirsten Knudsen and her colleagues. This paper was published in Critical Care Nurse, a peer-reviewed journal of American Association of Critical Care Nurses. The study explores the long-term challenges faced by ECMO survivors, focusing on their physical, psychological, cognitive, and social recovery. While ECMO is often seen as a life-saving intervention, many survivors face unexpected hardships after being discharged. In this episode, we'll break down the study's objectives, we'll look at into the methodology, the key findings, and then we'll talk about what it means for our patient care. For those who are unfamiliar, ECMO is an advanced life support treatment, and this is used for patients with severe cardiac or respiratory failure. What it does is it provides oxygen to the blood, and it removes the carbon dioxide when the lungs or the heart can't function properly. During the COVID-19 pandemic, it became a very important and very crucial life-saving device for many patients with severe lung failure. But the real question is, what truly happened, or what happens after the patient survives? The short-term survival rates of ECMO have been well studied, but there has been very little research on the long-term experiences of the survivors. And that's where the study comes in. It examines the ECMO. It examines what ECMO patients go through after being discharged from the hospital and how they adjust to life after the treatment. To understand the real-life experience of ECMO survivors, Dr. Knudsen and her team conducted an in-depth, semi-structured interviews with 16 adult survivors. These patients had undergone ECMO treatment at two regional ECMO centers in the northeastern United States. The researchers used interpretive description, a qualitative research method, to capture the personal experience and emotions rather than just numbers and statistics. The main goal was to identify common themes in survivors' journeys and assess their physical, psychological, and emotional recovery. So what were the key findings, and what were the survivors' journey? The study revealed three-stage recovery process for ECMO survivors. The first one being trauma and the vulnerability stage. The second one being resiliency and recovery phase. And then the third one being, when it comes to trauma and vulnerability, the survivors often had no memory of their time in critical care because most of the time they are sedated. Many suffered from hallucinations, nightmares, and disorientations when they woke up. And here there is fear and there is emotional distress. And these are very common. On the second stage, which was resiliency and recovery, after the discharge, survivors struggled with extreme physical weakness, and some had to relearn how to walk. People had problems with chronic pain, fatigue, and shortness of breath, and it persisted for months. There has been some psychological challenges, and this includes PTSD-like symptoms, depression, and memory issues. Socially, many survivors felt disconnected from friends and family who couldn't understand their ordeal. And when it comes to the survivorship, 66% of those participants experience at least one cognitive or psychological impairment. Around 25% were unable to return to work, often due to prolonged health issues. And the survivors with strong family support had better emotional recovery outcomes. The key takeaway here is survival is just the beginning of a much longer journey. So how can healthcare providers improve the care of ECMO survivors? The study suggests that there are three major areas of improvement. Number one, we need to have better post-hospital care. Many survivors felt uninformed about what to expect after ECMO. The second one is we need to have specialized rehabilitation. Survivors will need to have access to physical therapy, mental health support, and cognitive rehabilitation. And then the third one is there has to be a stronger communication, and the healthcare teams should prepare both patients and their families for the long-term challenges of their recovery. And this study serves as a wake-up call for medical professionals to provide more comprehensive post-ICU support. In summary, ECMO saves lives, but their survivors often struggle with long-term physical, mental, and emotional effects. They have problems with depression, some with PTSD, others with chronic pain and social isolation. These are all common in survivors, yet post-discharge support remains limited. This research by Dr. Knudsen and her team highlights the urgent need for better rehabilitation programs. It highlights the need for counseling and long-term strategies for ECMO patients. If you or someone you know had been through critical illness or long ICU stay, consider looking into your support groups, rehabilitation services, and mental health counseling, because recovery goes far beyond the hospital. Now, when it comes to these and survivorship, what would be the implications of this for occupational therapists? This study by Dr. Knudsen is very good. It's providing us a very good insight of the long-term challenges for ECMO survivors. But occupational therapist was not highlighted in there. The ones that's highlighted would be medical team, counseling, physical therapy, as always. So when it comes to occupational therapists, we can take part. So what's the implication of this for us? One, occupational therapist can help when we are addressing the physical and the functional limitations. ECMO survivors often experience severe muscle weakness. They have problems with reduced endurance and mobility challenges. And because of this, it makes it a problem for people to engage with their daily activities, like their ADLs, their instrumental ADLs. It's making it difficult. There is a role here for us, particularly in implementing functional rehabilitation plans to help patients learn self-care tasks like dressing and bathing and eating. We can use adaptive equipment training to compensate for the initial physical limitations. And we also need to develop gradual activity progression programs to build their endurance safely. As you can see, when it comes to rehabilitation, occupational therapists can do it, but we need to be in a place where we can actually do the rehabilitation. Whether it's a rehabilitation program that is done at home, whether it's a rehabilitation as an inpatient facility. The problem when it comes to the problems relating to cognitive rehabilitation after ICU syndrome or the post-ICU syndrome, the cognitive rehabilitation, we can take part on this as well. Like we said, you know, in this study, there's 66% of the ECMO survivors experience cognitive. They can have memory deficits. They can have brain fog. They can have difficulty concentrating. In here, the role of occupational therapists would be cognitive assessments, where we identify memory and executive functioning challenges for the patients. We have to use compensatory strategies. We can teach patients compensatory strategies, planners, reminders. We can do task simplifications. And this is so that we can enhance patients' independence. We can also provide patients with mental stimulation exercises and train people on problem-solving techniques to restore cognitive function. So these mental stimulation activities can actually be provided at the early stage. But this study is a review of patients over time and how they are. And again, the area of practice would have been a rehabilitation facility, whether it's an inpatient or home-based. So that is one of the programs, that's some of the programs that we can start to develop. Another concern would be mental health and emotional well-being of those patients. So survivors commonly experience post-traumatic stress disorder. They often have depression, anxiety, and they can have some social isolation. In here, in these type of problems, occupational therapists can integrate mindfulness techniques. We can do stress management strategies and coping mechanisms. We can add coping mechanisms into therapy as well. We can facilitate return to social roles, and we can do this by engaging patients in meaningful occupations that will promote emotional recovery. We can also collaborate with psychologists and social workers to ensure that there is a holistic mental health support for our patients. Again, the setting is outside, and it is more on the rehabilitation. When it comes to returning to work and community reintegration, the study is saying that 25% of those ECMO survivors have not been able to return to work because of a persistent physical or cognitive limitations. What would be the role of OTs here? Workplace assessment. And we can recommend ergonomic modifications. See, that's something that we can do. However, most of the time, OTs are not in the workplace in the capacity of a work or industrial rehabilitation. But that is an area that we can improve. That's an area that we can come in. And that's an area that we can advocate for. We can provide vocational rehabilitation, and we can assist in gradual return to work planning. Again, most of these roles and duties are in the occupational health department of NHS, but we are not there. So we need to be there. We need to start thinking about ways on how we can get there. And we can also teach patients how to do energy conservation techniques to help people, to enable people to manage their daily routines. We can also do family and caregiver education, because most of the time families do not understand, or they struggle to understand and support the survivors with long-term needs. Whose responsibility is this? It is an area that is open and up for grabs. And most of the time, it's the rehabilitation or the ICU nurses that are doing this. Occupational therapists can also do this, because family is a context. Family is half of our patient. So as occupational therapists, we can educate caregivers when it comes to safe mobility, when it comes to home modifications and daily assistance. We can provide guidance on emotional support techniques, and we can ease their frustration, and we can help minimize burnout as well. So this is the mental health side of occupational therapy trying to kick in. We can also encourage peer support groups, or develop those peer support groups, both for patients and their families as well. As you are aware, use of groups is one of the tools of the trade of occupational therapy. And we can prescribe groups. We can design groups. We can develop a group to meet the needs of a cohort of patients. And the cohort of patients here is the ECMO patients. So we can design those group and activities. We can also advocate for post-ICU follow-up care as occupational therapists. Because many survivors, they feel uninformed about what to expect after ECMO. And there is a gap in post-discharge care. So what can OTs do in here? We can advocate for structured post-ICU rehabilitation program. This is something that we need to be doing. There's so many things that we're juggling, aren't we? And so most of the time, these are left to the physiotherapists. But we need to be in there, guys. Yeah, we need to collaborate with physicians, physios, psychologists, so that we can ensure a comprehensive recovery plan. And then we can promote early OT interventions in critical care so that we can reduce the long-term functional decline. So why this matters to OT? Occupational therapists are very essential, and we are bridging the gap between survival and full recovery for people who's been or who's had ECMO. If and when we address the physical component, when we remember to address the emotional component, the cognitive component, and the social challenges that this person could have, then we can help survivors regain their independence. We can facilitate them going back to work. and we can get them integrating back to the community as well. So when you're seeing patients in critical care, yes, you are seeing the immediate concerns, but also think that we can contribute to long-term improvements. So the study is actually reinforcing the need for long-term multidisciplinary rehabilitation efforts. And with occupational therapists, we should be playing a very important and central role in improving the life and the quality of life of those ECMO survivors. There you go, guys. I hope you enjoyed this conversation and this very short talk. And it is our first journal review. If you enjoyed it, have this conversation amongst yourselves over a cup of tea. Learn together and grow together. Just remember, anything you do matters and has an outcome. Until next time, bye.